Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast. This is the space and the place for leadership learning. I'm Joanne Smichael. I'm a speaker, an educator, a consultant, and a forever student of the world. Enjoy this episode. I am very, very, very excited about our guest today, Dr. Jennifer Douglas. She's been here before. I had a great time with her, so she's back. Her workbook, Freedom from Perfection, it's a tool that just about anybody can use. And there's a companion course that you can take, completely virtual. She holds a PhD in clinical psychology from San Diego State University. She was on the faculty at Stanford. She got off of that track and is doing her own thing and loving life. Welcome back, Jen.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me back.
So, what have you been doing since the last time we talked?
Ooh, I have been raising babies. I am in talks about a book deal right now. So that's what's on my calendar to figure out over the next 2 weeks or so. So I'm doing, you know, big girl stuff. Good.
I love that. What are you writing the book about?
Perfectionism in high achieving women.
I love
nothing you know
that.
Anything about.
I love that. So today, I want to focus on conquering self-doubt. I would imagine that most of us experience it at some point in our lives. I know I do. I know I have. And yeah. So tell us what it is. Explain it. Where does it come from? Get us started on that.
Yeah, it's incredibly common. Like you said, almost everybody experiences self-doubt from time to time. Where it can get out of hand is if it's becoming a little more chronic, if it is limiting how we are behaving in our lives, whether we're sharing ideas, whether we are sharing how we feel with our loved ones. And it also dovetails a lot with imposter syndrome, especially in the workplace.
Okay. So when we think about self-doubt, I have a curiosity question. Is there any particular part of the population that is more prone to self-doubt than others?
Women are more prone to self-doubt than others. And you also see it in marginalized populations. So if folks do not see themselves reflected in spaces of success or accurately represented in the media, for instance, there can be less of a development of confidence and sense of self. And, you know, even just autonomy in the world, feeling safe in the world to express themselves. And so you'll see this in populations of color. You'll see it in LGBTQ populations, just because of sort of the water that we swim in. Folks can end up with more imposter syndrome in those cases.
Okay. That's interesting. I'm curious. I know that self-doubt can impact a person's ability or willingness to challenge themselves. What else does it do, and kind of what's the impact there?
Absolutely. It sort of relates to what you just said about challenging ourselves. When we have a lot of self-doubt, we lose confidence in our ability to adapt and grow. And so rather than expanding our lives and trying new things and putting ourselves out there, our lives tend to become stagnant or they even shrink. So we're looking to find things that we can participate in where we're confident. But if our confidence is really getting undercut by the self-doubt, we're actually going to retreat into things that we know that we are going to do well. And a lot of the things that are really valuable in our lives, whether that's trying new ideas, you know, putting ourselves out there at work, putting ourselves out there in terms of relationships, it's not always guaranteed that everything's going to go perfectly. And so self-doubt actually causes us to shrink down and we can even find ourselves a bit isolated.
That's interesting. So you stay in the safety zone, but by staying in the safety zone, your zone gets smaller and you become more isolated.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, huh. Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the fix? What do we do? What's the fix? How do we conquer? I want to know how to conquer self-doubt. I want my listeners to leave this podcast saying, yes, I can conquer my self-doubt.
Yes, yes. So when we think about self-doubt, I ask people to, when they have negative cognitions, negative thoughts, I ask them to ask themselves, okay, are these negative thoughts you're having about yourself, is this self-doubt based on facts or is it based on patterns?
Now, what's the difference between facts and patterns?
Yes. So if we're looking at a fact, we can say objectively, okay, you've spoken up 3 times in meetings And, you know, two out of those three times, people really liked the idea. The other time it was neutral. Okay, those are facts we can't sort of argue with. We can look to outside criteria, outside evidence over how that went. Patterns is you have the same thought over and over again, and you might have had it for decades. So if you can picture yourself having the thought after a meeting of, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or was what I was saying dumb, or it wasn't set out correctly, you can identify if that thought has popped up in other circumstances. So if you thought about it after a meeting, if you thought about it after a birthday party or a cocktail hour with friends, if you thought about it in sixth grade when you were giving a presentation, then you might identify, hey, this is a pattern of mine where I always second guess myself after I speak up in group situations. And so I ask people to start identifying, is this something you're thinking just because you're used to it? Or is this something that you're thinking because there was actually a problem in that circumstance?
So, I am curious because what you're talking about requires a high degree of self-awareness.
So this is a
So,
skill that's developed over time. So when we start to think differently, and we actually have really cool neurological data where we can do brain scans and actually show people's brains changing based on therapy. This is some of my favorite stuff to talk about. So when we are thinking in new neural pathways, it's just like building a muscle. So the first time you start to ask yourself, hey, was that really a problem, what just happened, you know, in that meeting or in that social interaction? Or am I just thinking that way because I've always thought that way? The first time you start to challenge your self-doubt, it's like the first time you pick up a weight and do a bicep curl. It's not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be good at it. You're going to be tired and you're going to feel like it's not working. We expect that. However, when you start to do that many, 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 many times, that neural pathway gets stronger. And eventually you pick it up and you don't even notice because you've done it so many times. So I don't expect your listeners to pop out, challenge their self-doubt, and be like, I nailed it. I'm done. I'm never going to have self-doubt again. Problem solved. Dr. Jen is the greatest. If they could do that, that would be great. But more realistically, what I would like them to do is start to gently challenge those self-doubting thoughts. And then as you get more used to it, then you're going to start to feel your brain open up to the possibility of, maybe that wasn't that bad an interaction. Maybe I am actually good at this. Maybe I can put myself out there in this situation. And that's when we start to grow that muscle.
So, Jim, sometimes this is the Smichel theory. Sometimes I think that people grow up in environments where they don't hear affirming messages, and that that is the root of a lot of self-doubt. So, how do you unplay those tapes and get different messages and embed them in there? Because if it's, if you were 5 years old and somebody told you you're not that good with your crayons, then you might think that you can never be good with a crayon.
No, and that's one of the primary pathways. I'm so glad you brought that up. So one of the questions I tend to ask people is, was that source of negative information a reliable source of information? So were they giving you that feedback based on facts, or were they giving you that feedback based on their own patterns? If somebody has, you know, an emotionally inattuned parent, or if they have a teacher who was burned out and should have retired 10 years ago, or if they had a partner who was not emotionally supportive, when they said, hey, you know, you're not good at drawing, or hey, that's not a good idea, or hey, you need to act differently, were they doing that because you actually weren't good at drawing, or you actually needed to act differently, or were they reacting from their own place where they are a critical person in general?
And
So we
that
have to
can be
dismantle them
contagious.
first. So we dismantle them, we take the power away from that communication first, and then we build up to replace that.
So, tools that you give people, A, to build their self-awareness. That's the first thing. How do you help people become more in tune with the self, more mindful about the messages that are floating around in their heads?
Absolutely. So we talk about catching the thought. So when someone first comes to me and they're experiencing negative thought patterns, you know, for instance, in self-doubt, we don't jump to immediately changing them because they're usually so common that they don't even notice them. So I actually ask people to take a finite period of time and try and just catch themselves, see if they can count how many negative thoughts they're thinking. So this might be getting ready in the morning. Maybe your, you know, getting ready routine is 30 minutes, 45 minutes. ask people just ask themselves, how many times do you find yourself speaking negatively to yourself? And that might be they're thinking about the conversation they're going to have at work and they're nervous and they're saying, oh, I can't do this, or oh, this isn't going to go well. It might be that they are self-conscious about, oh, do I look okay? You know, am I presenting as I would like to the world, et cetera. And sometimes they'll come to me and they say, oh my gosh, Dr. Jen, I have like 30 negative thoughts in 30 minutes. And so we can take a real beat to sort of build, okay, so your default pattern might be to come at yourself with a lot of criticism. And then we start to build out breaks in that criticism where I'll teach people how to be in the moment, maybe experience a bit of mindfulness, maybe experience some neutral thoughts first, then start to build up more positive thoughts. Because you're not going from 0 to 60 to, oh, I can't do it, to I am the best person in the world. That's going to feel really invalidating and placating. And that's what bad therapy looks like. Good therapy looks something like, if you're telling yourself, oh, I can't do this, bringing it more to neutral of, you know what? I don't know how this is going to go because I haven't done it before. Let me get curious about what it would be like to put myself out there.
So neutral self-talk is asking questions. It's really inquiry.
Yes, getting curious about yourself, not judging yourself negatively before you've even done
Okay, that's cool.
the thing.
One message that you'd want to give a person who is dealing with this lack of confidence, lack of self-assuredness, self-doubt. What is that message?
That the way to get better is to put yourself in situations where you can receive positive feedback. It's not to hide under the covers.
So are you talking about new relationships? Are you talking about, what are you talking about in places where you can get positive feedback?
So this is the beautiful thing, is that I have this lovely book. It's called How You Do Anything Is How You Do Everything. So if you're feeling self-doubt, I send folks on all kinds of different assignments because it's going to generalize. So say somebody is really nervous to go and date somebody. They're really nervous to go on for first dates. I'll have them start to join a bowling league to just make friends and put themselves out there in a very platonic way, because then that's going to help their self-doubt in social situations. If somebody's nervous to have a conversation about getting a raise with their boss, I'm going to have a conversation with the IT guy to slowly build up their confidence in just having any conversation at work with a flavor of assertiveness. So it doesn't matter where you pull from the house of cards. If you pull from the self-doubt house of cards, the rest of the cards are going to fall.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. It's like practice zone.
Yes, practice. Yeah.
And you know, when you were talking about putting yourself in places where you get more affirming feedback, I have to tell you this was kind of funny. I play pickleball, and I started playing pickleball probably 4 years ago. Well, for the first 2 years, I would only take lessons. I wouldn't go play. No, I would only, and I would go to lessons twice a week. I would go twice a week. And finally, the coach, the guy who gave the lesson, said, "You know, Joanne, you do have to play." I started playing. I started playing. Well, I'm not a natural athlete. I have to work on my athleticism. So it's a journey. It's a pickleball journey. But 2 days ago, I was at the Y playing pickleball, and it was not my best game. But my partner was the new executive director at the Y. And every time I missed a shot, he's like, "That's okay. That was good effort. That was good footwork. That was good, Joanne." And then I'm hitting these shots all out of bounds. He's like, "Hey, it was close. It was close." So now you know I want to play with Al all the time because of the affirmations that he gave me. And I noticed that he does that with other people. So who do you think I'm going to look for when I go to play pickleball Friday? I'm looking for Al because of those affirmations.
Absolutely. And you only got them because you stopped going to the lessons and you branched out and you started playing. You never would have known that if you hadn't got the little push to go out and play.
Yes,
Beautiful. I love
exactly.
it. Pickleball for the win, always.
Always, okay? Let's just
So
stink.
good.
Oh dear. I love it when we get to talk. It's so much fun. Can you come
So
back?
fun. I would love to. You know that.
Good. Wait, I need for you to tell people how they can reach you because you have your private psych
Yes.
practice, you do your online
Yes.
stuff. So how do people
That's
reach you?
many things. So they can see me on Instagram. It's at Dr. Jen Doug. Oh, no, it's at Dr. Jen Official is my Instagram handle. And so I share insights many, many times a week. We do interviews with all kinds of folks. We review books. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. And then my website is drjenniferdouglas.com. And that's where folks can find my course. There's information about coaching and consultation as well as therapy. It's a wonderful place.
Thank you, Dr. Jennifer Douglas.com. And I encourage and invite my listeners to go to that website and do the virtual course. Thanks for coming today. I will see you soon, very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Be sure that you subscribe and share. You can get more leadership learning from my YouTube channel and by following me on Instagram. Reach out when you're looking for a speaker to energize your next event. Reach out when you need curated leadership learning for your organization. Reach out when you're ready for consulting that will help your organization fulfill its potential. I'm Joanne Smichel, and thank you for tuning in.